From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. Our text for today is found in Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1, The Love of the Lord. Believer, look back through all thine experience, and think of the way whereby the Lord thy God has led thee in the wilderness, and how he hath fed and clothed thee every day, how he hath borne with thine ill manners, how he hath put up with all thy murmurings, and all thy longings after the flesh pots of Egypt, how he has opened the rock to supply thee, and fed thee with manna that came down from heaven. Think of how his grace has been sufficient for thee in all thy troubles, how his blood has been a pardon to thee in all thy sins, how his rod and his staff have comforted thee. When thou hast thus looked back upon the love of the Lord, then let faith survey his love in the future. For remember that Christ's covenant and blood have something more in them than the past. He who has loved thee and pardoned thee shall never cease to love and pardon. He is Alpha, and he shall be Omega also. He is first, and he shall be last. Therefore, bethink thee when thou shalt pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Thou needest fear no evil, for he is with thee. When thou shalt stand in the cold floods of Jordan, thou needest not fear, for death cannot separate thee from his love. And when thou shalt come into the mysteries of eternity, thou needest not tremble. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, soul, is not thy love refreshed? Does not this make thee love Jesus? Doth not a flight through illimitable plains of the ether of love inflame thy heart, and compel thee to delight thyself in the Lord thy God? Surely, as we meditate on the love of the Lord, our hearts burn within us, and we long to love him more. Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. During these broadcasts, Dr. Cairns is expounding the Epistle to the Romans. At this time, he is studying chapter 7 in a message entitled, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. The law shows the sinner his need to be freed from what is essentially a covenant with death, but it can do nothing to effect that deliverance. Only the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross can free a person from the penalty of his sin which the law demands. As Dr. Cairns is seeking to explain, Romans chapter 7 declares that Christians are living under the grace of God, not under the law. Furthermore, this new life is not intended to be unproductive. Believers are to bring forth the fruit of holiness. For having been saved, they are now united to Christ in a covenant of love. Now Dr. Cairns will continue this message called, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition.
Such is the union between Christ and His people, that the grace of God taking us out of Adam and putting us into Christ means that in His dying, we died to the claims of the law. God, by the death of the believer in Christ, has shattered the covenant that we have had with the law in order that now the law should have no more claim upon us. So that that law that once condemned us is now silent. Just as the law was silent to a woman who otherwise would have been counted an adulteress when her husband died and she marries again, the law has nothing to say in condemnation. It has no claim on her in that regard. So similarly, we have died in Christ. The entire covenant with the law as a basis of our acceptance with God, it's gone forever. satisfied, and there's no claim now. I want you to understand, for Paul is going to take this up. He comes to it in Romans 8. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. This is what he's saying. The law has nothing to say to condemn a believer in Jesus Christ. The law has nothing to say in condemnation of a believer in Jesus Christ. Keep learning it. Get it into your heart and get it into your head. Oh, the devil will condemn. The devil will accuse. But when you have an accusation against a believer in Jesus Christ, understand it is not the voice of God or His law. For Christ in His dying has slain our obligation to the law by fulfilling it. There's nothing left to be done. He has done it all. We have died to the law by our dying in Christ, so that there's now no legal covenant that the law can hold us to. That means you don't have to obey God to be saved. Now, I didn't say it doesn't mean that a Christian doesn't have to obey God. I say that you don't have to obey God to be saved. For example, if you went to a woman who was married to for the second time legally, you say to her, your first husband's dead. You don't have to obey your husband. Try telling that to her second husband. You see, what we're saying here is, we are not under bondage to the law, but we're now in covenant with another. We're saved by another. We are wedded to another. It's not that we don't obey God. We don't obey God in order to be saved. We're saved by the obedience of Christ. And we obey God as the product of a union of love. We are wedded to Christ. That's the second thing then. Believers are united to Christ in a covenant of marriage. Now there you have one of the great themes of Scripture that I will not take off on tonight, for it would be really too large. You remember the words of the bride in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 16, "My beloved is mine and I am his." We were singing that tonight. That's why I got you to sing it again. It's an awful thing when we can sing things like that with hardly a thought. It's an awful thing when we can read things like this with hardly a thought. I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. I think of the words of Hosea the prophet to Gomer, his adulterous wife. The words of God to Israel, his adulterous spouse. And I believe that the very words of Christ to his believing people in Hosea 2:19 and 20, "I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord." It's the marriage union between Christ and His people. We have, at every marriage practically, heard the words of Ephesians 5 read, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Christ loved His church. I wonder, do we ever keep our attention going in that Bible reading down to the end of it, verse 30 and 30 to 32? "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. One flesh, one body. We are members, Paul says, of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Don't ask me to expound those words. I can't do it. And I don't know anybody else can either. Here we have a statement of the union of the bride with the bridegroom. Christ is the husband of his church. In the book of the Revelation, you have that wonderful picture of the Lamb's wife. The sinner who believes in Jesus becomes a member of that body, a member of that Christ, and they are joined together in a union of life. Notice that verse 4 of our Bible reading says that we also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. It's a union of life. The covenant with the law issued in death. Didn't Romans 6 end with the statement, the wages of sin is death? The soul that sinneth, Ezekiel tells us, it shall die. Paul writes to the Galatians, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. That the marriage of the sinner with death or with the law issues always in death. But the marriage of the believer with Christ issues always in life. It's a union of life. It's a union of love. Who can tell the love of Christ toward his church? He loved his church and he gave himself for it. Who can describe that love? How can we ever come to any appropriate conception of that love? We can use human terminology, get as close as we can, but when we have done so, we're like a little child with a little... bucket and spade, and we're at the edge of the great Atlantic Ocean and we're trying to put the ocean in the bucket. We can't ever come to a true conception of the magnitude and the majesty of the love of God in Jesus Christ, that God's dear Son would be wedded to us. That's amazing. Have you ever read that book of Hosea? You know, the book of Hosea is so radical that to this day, commentators and translators and scholars argue over whether Hosea actually had to marry a harlot or whether he didn't. But whatever's happening to Hosea, do you see the message? God came down into the world. He didn't effect a marriage between his son and the holy angels. He didn't set up a wedded bliss between Christ and heavenly beings who had never sinned. He went down into the cesspool of their sin and he found them in their filth and their wickedness and their hellish ungodliness. And he took them out and he purchased them with his blood and he washed them in his blood and he sanctified them with his blood. And then he united them to himself, meeting their covenant with the law and shattering it by death. He united them to himself in a union of everlasting life and everlasting love. Oh, the love that Jesus had for me to suffer on that cruel tree. It's more than tongue can tell. In that love, he gives us his name. I know that in this day of anti-Christian apostasy, women assert their, quote, freedom. Actually, it's their bondage. By effecting marriages but never taking their husband's name. It's just an indication that the marriage union and the family bond is almost unknown to them. But when we are wedded to Christ, we take His name. We are known in heaven by His name. Would you want any other name? He not only gives us His name, He enriches us with His possessions. Just as He died to take all my ill desert upon Himself, so He gives to us all that He deserves. What has Christ earned by His living and by His dying? What has Christ earned? There is a glory that belongs to Him essentially as the second person of the Trinity. That glory can never be ours. We can never participate in that glory, for it belongs to deity. But there is a glory that He has earned. There are possessions that He has deserved by His living and by His dying. Now, what did Christ earn? And understand this. He needed nothing. He didn't earn it for Himself. He earned it for His people. And He now enriches His bride with all the possessions that He has earned by His righteousness unto blood. Then He invests her with all His righteousness. In the words of Isaiah, He clothes her with the garments of salvation and with the robe of righteousness. He gives us a description of her prophetically through the psalmist. When he speaks of the king's daughter, and he says concerning her that the king shall greatly desire thy beauty. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That the King of Glory would ever look at you or me and see any beauty that He would desire. The King shall greatly desire thy beauty, for He is thy Lord, and worship thou Him. The King's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. He invests us with the very righteousness of Christ. He has broken our covenant with the law by His dying and our dying in Him. He has wedded us to Christ in a union of love and life and real liberty. Oh yes, we are slaves to grace, but that is real liberty.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.